First, I'd like to say what a blessing it is to be here, to be able to come and to proclaim God's word to you. Always a blessing for me to come and visit Malvern and to be with God's people. I've enjoyed fellowship with you folks in the past and certainly look forward to fellowship with you today. Wish you all the Lord's richest blessings as you celebrate Thanksgiving. We celebrate Thanksgiving in October, so we get a little bit of a jump on you, but certainly always occasion to worship and praise the Lord for His many blessings, for the provisions that He gives to His people, and want to wish you all a blessed Thanksgiving. I was very generous. I thought I'd bring a little cold weather with me from Canada for you to enjoy. And don't worry, I have shipped down some snow as well, so that'll be coming this week for you as something for you to look forward to from Canada. I am from London, Ontario. I've ministered there for almost 7 years. And so by means of giving you a bit of a report and what is happening in London, just over the last year and a half, we had seen just a real downturn in the work and the ministry. Saw several people leaving the work. So we came to a point at the beginning of last summer where we felt we should just pray before the Lord and leave a fleece before God. Lord, if you want this work to continue, you need to show us, you need to bless us in some way or direct us. And so we left a fleece just saying, Lord, if the work's to continue, we need to see a positive turn. Or if you're going to close this work, then there needs to be a negative showing. And so we just left it before the Lord. We're praying, and certainly the Lord directed us in His truth as well and said that, you know, through His word, He would teach us and guide us and direct us in the way that we should go. So at the beginning of September, around the end of August, I should say, we had our key financial supporter leave the work. He had a desire to move to the USA. There's something about the USA that draws people. So as a Canadian, he wanted to emigrate to the US. His wife is an American. So he had made plans to do that. And then our pianist also decided to leave the work for another reason. And so the Lord really just gave us clear indication that it was time to close the work. We were essentially left with a few seniors, and they certainly didn't have the means to support the work financially. So I'm sad to announce that at the end of September, we closed our church in London. So we had our last service in London Free Presbyterian Church September 30th. And so at this point, certainly we believe that the Lord is in control. He is sovereign. He certainly directs His church. So as He opens doors of opportunities, He also closes them. We rejoice in what the Lord did for us in London. We saw 7 people saved through our ministry there. So we certainly rejoice in what the Lord has done in the saving of those 7 souls. We ministered to many folks, saw many people come and go over those 6.5 years. My wife was conducting a ladies' Bible study. One of the folks that were saved was a lady through that Bible study. And that Bible study is actually continuing even now, probably till about January. So the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we're glad. And we saw much fruit through the work and the ministry. And so at this point, Karen and I, my wife Karen, and I are just looking to the leading of the Lord and seeing where the Lord would direct us for the future. We certainly would appreciate your prayers for us and that we would know God's exact plan for our work and ministry. But we certainly remember you here in prayer. We've been praying for you in this church, especially when you are facing Superstorm Sandy. We're remembering the folks here saddened by those loss of lives, that you know, those who lost their life through that storm. But also we praise the Lord for his cares, his provisions, and is the fact He preserved so many. So we certainly pray for those who have gone through great hardship and great pain and suffering through that storm. We remember you certainly at that time. And we will continue to pray for you in the work of God here in Malvern as you endeavor to minister for Christ. Please turn with me now to Psalm 92, Psalm that you read. I'd like us to focus on the first 8 verses. And just before we come to the message, we focus here on this Psalm of Thanksgiving. Let us just bow in a word of prayer. We'll ask the Lord's blessing to be upon His truth. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we praise and thank You for this opportunity that we have to focus upon Your truth. Thank You that Your word is quick and it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, pierce our hearts today. Speak to us. We thank You that Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway, and that as the Spirit of God moved in so many in the past to write this revelation, Lord, we ask that You would also give us a spirit of understanding, so that as we focus upon Your truth today, that we would see Christ in all His fullness and His glory. Lord, we just thank You for the fact that You did not leave us in darkness, but Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that His light is shining within His people. And so continue with us and bless us by Your truth. Encourage our hearts today. Lord, we need Your help. And Father, even for me, unto me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, whereof I am an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so, Lord, be with us today. Meet with Your people and continue with us. We ask these things in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. As you focus on Thanksgiving today and over the last couple of days, one thought that I would like to leave with you is the fact that gratitude is a very important element to our happiness as believers. There is one author who stated that there is a secret to happiness. And he said, this is gratitude. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people cannot be happy. We tend to think that it is being unhappy that leads people to complain, but it is truer to say that it is complaining that leads people to becoming unhappy. Become grateful, and you'll become a much happier person. Now, as Christians, as believers, certainly we have much to be thankful and grateful for. And it's not just for the material blessings that we enjoy. Certainly we live in North America. We live in a place of wealth. What do we truly lack? And spend some time in Asia. Spend some time in Africa. Spend some time in India. And certainly you will see poverty to a very great degree. I mean, there's also wealth there as well, but great poverty. And not to say that there's poverty here in North America, but for the most part, we have opportunity. We have great provision. We have great blessing. The Lord has done great things for us here in North America. And we should not be unmindful of what the Lord has done. So the Lord has blessed us, certainly material. But we have great spiritual blessings. We have great spiritual wealth. Do we not possess all things in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Even Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because he had learned the secret. And that secret was contentment. To be content with the situation, with the circumstance, with whatever the Lord had given unto him. So whether he had been uplifted or abased, whether he had all things or whether he had nothing, he had learned to be content. And he was able to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so certainly as Christians, as believers, our Christian tradition is that we would be a thankful people. And that's why I direct your attention this morning to Psalm 92. As the psalmist says, it is what? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. He says, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And as we focus this morning upon this psalm, certainly I want us to recognize that gratitude is a very important element of our happiness, because it causes us to look away from ourselves, When we are a thankful people, we look away from ourselves and upon the challenges and the difficulties, hardships of life, and we recognize there's a God upon the throne who thinks upon me. A God upon the throne who's concerned about me and my welfare, who gave his best for me, who gave his son for me, who loved me to such a degree that he sent his only begotten son into this world to save me from my sin, even when I lived as a rebel, even as a rejecter of God, even as I lived in my depravity, in my wickedness. Yet despite me, God loved me, giving his only begotten son upon the cross of Calvary for my sins. I am a thankful person. And I trust that you folks are thankful as well for what the Lord has done for us. And so as we consider this time of season, Thanksgiving, certainly it is a time to give thanks unto the Lord. And as we remember the reasons we have to be thankful, understand certainly what God has done for us in the provisions that we have in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. First, certainly it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. A good thing. The psalmist says that it is a good thing. But what does he mean by good? How is giving thanks to God a good thing? Why is it a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord? Well, first, we can say gratitude is good because God deserves our thanks. He deserves our praise. He deserves to be exalted in all the earth for what he does for us. It is only proper that we realize all the good things that we have to enjoy from our God and from his hand, and how he guides and directs his people. For all things work together for what? For our good, for your good, for my good. Whether things are challenging, difficult, or whether we're in blessing, whether we're prospering, whether things are doing well, yet all things come from a God who is good, a God who knows our needs before we even ask him, a God who is directing the affairs of your life and my life. And so God is good. Certainly leads us to say, yes, it is good for me, certainly very good for me to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, when someone gives you a gift, whether it be a special occasion, a birthday or so on, it is only right and proper that when you receive that gift for you to do what? Yeah, to say thanks, to give thanks. Certainly to recognize the gift and the giver for that which you have received. Now, can you imagine if someone gave you a gift, but you didn't give thanks for it? That you took it for granted? That you sort of said, oh, well, that'll help me. That's something I can maybe use. I'll see if I can take advantage of this. I mean, I know someone within my own family, my father-in-law, who gave something to another member of the family. He gave something to him, and that person didn't even say thank you. And just said basically, oh, well, that should help me. Great. Wonderful. I'll be able to use that. Okay. I'll accept that. Great. Now, can you imagine your reaction if someone did that to you? You went out of your way, you bought something for them, or you even sacrificed something, giving a special gift to someone, only for them not to be grateful, not to be thankful, to in fact turn their back on you? I mean, still take it, but not express any thankfulness whatsoever? I mean, what would your reaction be? How would you react to that person? How would you feel about that person? I mean, I know myself, I'd be angry. What are you doing? I gave you this gift. You're not even going to, you know, be thankful for it? Well, when we think about God and the gift that he gave, think about what God did. Think about the gift that God gave. Certainly says in the epistles, thanks be unto God. For his what? Unspeakable gift. Now that's how it's described. An unspeakable gift from God. But yet, how many out there are unthankful for it? And I'm going to speak about that a bit later. We certainly give thanks to God for His unspeakable gift to us. What is the most important gift that you could ever receive in your life? And believe me, it's nothing material. I mean, someone could give you a Lamborghini. Someone could give you the most beautiful house. Someone could give you a holiday to a paradise. You could have this world, right? You could have the best of this world. But yet, if you lose your soul, what do you have at the end of the day? Right? We have nothing. We have nothing. God gave us His best. God gave us His best. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And certainly it is true that everything that is good in this world comes from God. And there's another reason that it is good to give thanks to God in these verses. It's certainly because of His covenant love for us. You know, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. Why is it a good thing? To show forth what? Are we praising Him? Are we thanking Him? Why? To show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. There is not a moment in your life God's hand is not off of you in your circumstances. I mean, God is directing your affairs. God is directing every aspect, every detail. I mean, you think of the providence of God and how He directs each and every life. But here, He says, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning. Loving kindness. The Hebrew word there is for essentially His covenant love. Loving kindness has a covenant aspect to it. So remember, God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. He enters into a very special relationship with His people. An unbreakable bond. Whereby the moment we enter into His covenant blessing, His covenant life, that life that we have in Jesus Christ, we are never forsaken. It can never be taken away. We receive the blessings of God. And notice it begins at the beginning. His loving kindness in the morning. Since the beginning. I could say the beginning of our Christian life, Christian experience. In fact, I can go even beyond that, where the Scripture talks about the fact that God knew me before the foundation of the world. That He desired to have me as His child. And that in due season, due time, He knew I would come to Him in faith. Because the very faith that He gave to me is His gift. The gifts of God certainly are overwhelming. And He is faithful to His promises. He is faithful to His covenant. Faithfulness is a part of the attributes of God. To show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning, and what? Thy faithfulness every night. Thy faithfulness, the steadfastness, the reliability of God. He is not one who lies. He's not one who deceives. He's not one who wants to take advantage of you and me. I mean, we see enough of that around us. But God is a God of truth, and everything that He does is in truth. And it's a reality when the fact that His promises are something that we rest upon, that we look forward to. And we do not receive the full blessings of God here and in this life. I mean, we receive a portion of that because we have the Spirit of God. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, that which the Lord hath prepared for His people in glory. So the best is yet to come. God is faithful. Faithful God to you and to me. And it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Did you thank God this morning when you got up? Did you praise God for His blessings upon your life? Did you thank Him for the gifts that He's given you? For the food that you ate? For the roof over your head? Did you give thanks to God for that spiritual wealth that you enjoy in His Son? Certainly it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. In fact, in a sense, gratitude is an expression of modesty. I don't know if you knew that. In Hebrew, the word for gratitude is the same as the word for confession. Confession. And I thought, that's rather strange, isn't it? Gratitude, confession. You know, what would connect those two terms? They seem very different. But to offer thanks is to confess dependence, to acknowledge that this God who I serve, this God who is my God, this God who has redeemed me by precious blood, this God who did so much for me, I will confess certainly dependence upon Him and praise Him and thank Him for what He does for me and what He has given to me and the benefits that I enjoy as a Christian. I will make my confession unto the Lord. And so it's not just a matter of confessing my sins before God. Certainly we do that as well. But I will confess my dependence upon God. I will acknowledge God. I will serve God. I will love Him. Love Him in the fulfilling of His law. With all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. To love my neighbor as myself. And so to offer thanks is to confess that dependence upon God. That everything I receive is from His hand. Because you don't know what you have until it's gone. Do you notice that? And you folks just went through a storm not too long ago. And as I was talking to the Duffies, they said that here in the Philadelphia area, basically a lot of you lost power. Is that the case? Like you had a lot of high winds, a lot of rain. I'm not sure if folks had homes damaged. Maybe you did. But you don't realize what you have. You think of even just your power going off. You don't realize how dependent we are on power. You know, for our refrigerator, for our heat, for our lights. You know, everything we have is dependent upon it. And suddenly, when it's off, we realize how we needed that and how dependent we are on it. Imagine if your garbage is not picked up. Suddenly, you appreciate the fact that someone comes and collects your garbage and takes it away. A good friend passes away, and suddenly you discover how much that person meant to you. And how the Lord gives us that support and friendship that we enjoy as people. You know, your water, you imagine your water becomes too polluted to drink, and suddenly you appreciate the fact that, you know, you have clean water that comes to your house, that you don't have to go out and go to a well and go get it. You know, we have many benefits. And why is it that the Lord, you know, at times we can even take Him for granted? We just assume that, well, you know, God is going to bless me the same every day. But yet, there are times when, you know, we get away from God and we just assume and think that God is going to continue to bless us. I mean, we think of Samson. Remember Samson? I mean, he just assumed that he would always have the power of God. And even though, you know, he gave in to Delilah, allowed his hair to get cut, what did he do? As the Philistines came, as they kept on coming, as Delilah tried to deceive him, the time when he had his hair cut, he expected to get up and be as powerful and as strong as ever. But what happened to him? Yeah, power was gone. Power was gone. He was taken. He was taken, became a slave. Never take God for granted. Never take His blessings for granted. Never just expect God to bless you because, well, I grew up a Christian. My parents are Christian. Every generation that we've had is Christian. So I'm just to expect, you know, God's blessing upon me as well. Right? No, we do not take God for granted. We do not take His blessings for granted. We do not take the life that we enjoy in Jesus Christ for granted. Remember, it is a good thing. Always a good thing. To give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, O Most High. And certainly, what do we thank Him for? Not just for His covenant blessings. I mean, we enjoy those. Not for His faithfulness. We enjoy those. We enjoy so much because of who God is. But the psalmist invites us to look around as well. Look around. Verse 4. For Thou, Lord, has made me glad. You know, He has a heart of rejoicing. Through Thy work, I will triumph in the works of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, thy thoughts are very deep. The psalmist invites us to look at the works of God, to think and to consider what God has done. What God has done should make us also thankful and glad. He has created us. He made you. He made me. He made everything around us. He made us this beautiful earth to be on. You think of the provisions that we have in God's truth and God's word. We touched on that this morning, the revelation of God. You know, He has not left us in spiritual darkness, but we have a knowledge of the Holy One and the means by which we can come to know Him and enjoy that relationship with Him. The psalmist said in 139, "For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." And even from my womb, I will praise You. I am fearfully, wonderfully made. God has done these works. But of course, we think about the most important work that He's done. What is the most important work that He's done? You know, your spiritual redemption. The fact that He loves you. I mean, you think of the works of God. Now, I don't want to just think of the work of God in a general sense, because certainly we see that around us. But think of the work of God and what God has done in your life. From a child. And how He has directed your life. I mean, many of us look back and we can see, yes, God has His hand upon me. I could have wrecked myself here. This could have happened. I could have been in a car accident. You know, all these things could have happened to me. But yet, God has preserved me. God has maintained me. God has kept me. You know, think back to that time when you committed your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Think of your own testimony and the fact that God worked in your heart, worked in your life, made you realize you're a sinner lost and that you need a Savior. And that He didn't leave you in that state of sin. He didn't leave you there on that broad road that leads to destruction. But He brought you to Himself. He saved with a mighty hand. He showed you His Son. And that the Son of God came into your life and came into your heart. And that how that turned around your life. How many people, when they think back of the life they lived before they were saved. Now, some of you, certainly, as you might have come to Christ as a young person. But someone older here came to life a little later. I mean, you look back and you see, if I had continued on in my lifestyle, my non-Christian lifestyle, I would have destroyed myself. I mean, I know that myself. You know, I was 16 when I came to Christ. But even at that young age, if I continued on in my attitude, in my lifestyle, my wickedness, I know I probably wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be alive today. I would have destroyed myself. Because that's the power of sin. The power of sin leads to destruction. And at the end of the day, it's not just leading to material hardship, physical difficulty, but to everlasting hell and destruction from the presence of God. Everlasting punishment. I mean, we can't even imagine that. But the works of God, the work of God in the lives of His people to redeem us from that, to keep us from that, that Jesus Christ is willing to say, yes, your sins are my sins. I take them upon myself. And that in that great transaction, I will give you my righteousness. In the sight of God, you will be holy. You will be sanctified. You will be pure and fully accepted, entering into the joy of the Lord. God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a transaction. What a work. What a work. For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I rejoice. I praise God for His work. I am glad for what He has done. Because He didn't leave me to myself. He intervened. He didn't leave you to yourself. He intervened. You who are Christians here today, you who have committed your life to Christ, be glad through His work. You triumph through His work, as opposed to failing, as opposed to being found wanting, as opposed to being defeated. You are triumphing today. Praise be to God for His unspeakable gift. You know, you think of the days of Asa. Here is King Asa, and he had all the blessings. King of Judah, exalted position. Early in his reign, he committed his life to God, and the Lord blessed him. He had peace, prosperity in his kingdom. And then all of a sudden, he's facing some opposition. Other kings are raised up against him. And instead of serving God, looking to God, resting in God, and as he did in the past, what does he do? I mean, are you familiar with King Asa in the Old Testament? Instead of resting in God, instead of looking to God to be his strength, to triumph in his God, he starts to take the treasury, the temple, using it as bribes. He starts to build up his own works. He thinks that he's going to be able to stand, and he enters into alliances and so on. But is he strong? Does he prevail? Does he triumph? No. It takes the prophet Hanani to come to him and to give him some very curt advice, but also to declare the truth and the reality of God. That the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to do what? What is God looking to do? To show himself strong. To show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Or essentially those who've made their peace with God. So as we have made our peace with God, what does the Lord, what is he keen on doing in your life? He's showing himself strong. I mean, oftentimes we think, well, I have to try to be strong for the Lord. I've got to try to be faithful. I've got to try to do my best. And certainly that's true. But if that's our focus, essentially what's going to happen? We're going to fail. Because what are we doing? We're looking to ourselves. We're essentially thinking, I can build myself up in the Lord. But can you do that? Not without Him. Not without Him. He is the one who needs to show himself strong on your behalf. And guess what? He does that. He does that. He shows himself strong on your behalf. He's looking to do it. He's looking to do it. And certainly he will accomplish it. And he will make himself strong. Lord, how great are thy works! How great are thy works! You have made me glad through thy work, because I will triumph in the works of thy hands. I triumph in your work. That work that you're doing on my behalf. The grace that I'm given day by day. You are doing a work through me. We are instruments in his hands. And as I give myself to God, as I endeavor to serve God, certainly he is using me. He is helping me. He's empowering me. So that I might be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's not me building myself up. I'm not trying to, you know, have an emotional response to God every day. And, you know, I got to feel good. Certainly, we enjoy to feel good. But what about those times when we don't feel good? Does that mean God is not in our lives? That God is not active? That God is not on the throne? You know, when I feel good or when I don't feel good, it doesn't matter. I'm still serving the Lord Christ. He is still a master. And he is one who is interceding for me constantly. He is praying for me. He knows my needs. He's providing them. And sometimes that means that I must go through the valley. That I must go through hard times. If I need to learn a lesson. If I need to learn dependence. If I need to get myself to a place where, yes, I'm dependent on God. Then, Lord, take me through the valley if I need it, so that I might glorify you. You need to be glorified, not me. You need to be glorified so that I might praise you for your work in my life. Not me praising myself. Not me praising myself. I can do nothing apart from Christ. I will do nothing apart from Christ. And I'll continue to do nothing apart from Christ. And the same goes for each and every one of us. Vital for us. Vital for us. Have faith. I believe you, Lord. I believe you saved me. And I believe that you're going to continue to work in my life. You're going to use me. You're going to help me. Whether through thick and thin, challenges or blessing, I will say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But may we never, and very last here, never get to a position or a place where we are not thankful. Because what does he say here in verse 6, 7, 8? It says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. Brutish man knoweth not the works of God. A brutish man is not thankful, does not praise God. He does not think it a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. The fool does not give thanks unto God, does not praise God for the work that he's doing in his life. Now, God has his hand on each and every person in this world. And certainly the psalmist in another place, you know, he had to deal with the fact that, you know, there are times when the ungodly seem to prosper and do better than the godly. That the ungodly, well, they don't have the same problems that I have as a Christian. You know, they seem to be wealthy. They seem to be doing okay. You know, they're not dealing with any issues. And the psalmist even came to a point or a place where he said, my foot almost slipped. I almost entered into that place of unbelief to turn my back against God because I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I mean, they're doing so well. And yet, here am I, I'm struggling. I'm endeavoring to be faithful to God, but I'm struggling. And look at all these people around me, they're not struggling. And he said his foot had almost slipped. Until what? What changed his mind about the whole thing? Until he went into the temple. Until he saw the reality of God. He saw that the end of the wicked was what? Hell everlasting. For those who are unthankful, for those who are the fool, who acknowledge not God, for those who turn their back on God, have no time for gospel truth, have no time for the scriptures, have no time for spiritual things whatsoever. They may prosper now, but yet the day is coming when all of it's taken away. Now, there's one fellow who said, you can't have a U-Haul behind a hearse. Right? You're not able to take it with you, no matter how much you accomplish. I mean, even here of people, you know, they're buried in their cars and, you know, they've got their stuff with them. And, you know, they think this is going to benefit them somehow. When they die, they're bankrupt. They have less than nothing. And Christ said, depart from me, ye wicked, ye cursed. I never knew you. I never knew you. Take your part in everlasting hell. And that's a reality. That's a reality. For the fool has said in his heart, there's what? No God. It's the fool who sets his heart against the Lord and thinks he's going to prosper and do well. But at the end of the day, what do they have? Nothing. Nothing. Never get yourself into a place where you're unthankful, where you do not acknowledge God, where you think God, well, God's not concerned about this little thing, this decision, this part of my life, or I can do whatever I want, it doesn't matter. You know, it all matters. And we are to live for the glory of God. I mean, isn't that what our catechism says? Man's chief end is what? What is man's chief end? I'm sure the young people could tell me that. What is man's chief end? You know that from the catechism? Man's chief end is to what? Glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Catechism, short catechism, question number one. Man's chief end, glorify God, enjoy Him forever. We're to enjoy God as we live for His glory. We don't live for ourselves. We live for Him. But the wicked, they do not acknowledge God. They do not acknowledge His works. They knoweth not, neither doth the fool understand. And even when the wicked spring up, and they spring up as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity even do flourish, and they seem to be doing so well, and they're all around us, and we think, boy, look at this guy. You know, he's a wicked wretch, involving himself in great sin. When they flourish. I mean, what does the scripture talk about when it speaks of man and the grass? It speaks of the grass. It's raised up in the morning. Evening, it's what? It's cut down. I mean, life is so short, so short. These people, they seem to prosper so well, but yet it's only for a short time. And at the end of the day, it is that they shall be what? Verse 7, destroyed forevermore. Destroyed forevermore. But Thou, Lord, art most high. Thou, Lord, art the one to be exalted and glorified. And as God's people, we do not live to glorify ourselves. We live to glorify the Lord. That's what we do. We live to glorify the Lord. And so at the end of the day, we could say the whole Christian life is one very heartfelt thank you to the Lord. We are a living expression of gratitude to God for His goodness to us. Don't take Him for granted. Never take your God for granted. Never take His blessings for granted. Never take the life that He gives you for granted. But do all to the glory of the Lord. And so as you celebrate this time of thanksgiving, it's not that we are sitting around a table just giving thanks for food, waiting for ourselves to be able to eat it, or just to get together with family. I mean, that's obviously very important. I mean, this is an important time of year, getting together with family. But we rejoice together in what God has given to us. We rejoice in that blessings, those spiritual blessings that He showers upon us. We recognize, yes, Jesus, You came into this world to save me. My name is written upon Your hands. You know me. You know my weaknesses. You know my frailty. You know my sin. But despite me, You saved me. Despite me, You live for me. Despite me, You pray for me. And despite me, You show Yourself strong for me, so that I might be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be thankful. Be a thankful people. And recognize, certainly, as we have read this psalm, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. How great is our God. Well, amen. May the Lord bless His word to us. Let us just bow in a word of prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your truth. We thank You that certainly we are so rich, that Jesus, though He was wealthy, became poor so that we might have His wealth. Lord, we're not wealthy in and of ourselves. We desire to be a people who possess the spiritual riches in Christ, to possess the Spirit of God that dwells within us, that Jesus sent the Spirit to be the earnest or the down payment of the blessings, the full blessing that we shall receive when we're with Him in glory. And so, Lord, help us not to just to think about what we have in this world, in this life, but that we recognize that we have so much more, and that we have so much more wealth, so much more possessions, and that, Lord, we desire a greater kingdom, a greater city. Even Abraham, and all his wealth and all his prosperity and all he had, he counted as little or nothing Because he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. That's what he looked for. Father, we look for the same. We look for the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Take all this, but give me Jesus. And Father, that you would grant us according to the riches of your glory, that you would strengthen us with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we might be rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that each and every one of us might be filled with all the fullness of God. Bless us, O Lord. Bless your people and encourage every heart. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need you every step of the way. And so undertake and bless. Continue with us on this Lord's Day. Help us to remain in the Spirit on the Lord's Day so we might spend this day in your worship and your praise to worship you as you are deserving, as you are one who is high and lifted up. Bring each one home in safety. Watch over us. And Father, that truly in all things Jesus Christ will be glorified. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen.